In the late 90s, I had lived out here in the Capital District for a year or two, and my brother, my little brother, was about 15. He was in the West Coast where the rest of my family is, where I grew up. And he saved up money, and he came out, and he was going to see the sights. And we were going to spend a week going to New York City. We went to New York City for a few days. We rented a car, and we drove across New England. And we made the mistake of driving in Boston, where I always get lost. And I did that day. But we parked on the west side of Boston. And if you've been there, it's been years, because I try to avoid Boston. But it's been years since I've been there, but they used to have a scarlet trail, like a little painted white, red line that led you through the city, that takes you by the historical sites. So maybe they still have that. But we spent all day walking. We parked on the west side of Boston and walked all the way across Boston, saw all the sights. And the end of our journey was going to be Bunker Hill, across the bay. We got there in late afternoon, you know, kind of tired, but that was our end of our destination. We were going to turn around and walk back. We got to Bunker Hill, and we were walking up the hill, that site of this pivotal Revolutionary War battle. And I had remembered vaguely some of what had happened there. They have a big monument. They had built a big memorial to help kind of commemorate what had happened there. And they have this little building next to it that it's kind of like a museum. And you go in, and they have little plaques and stuff and tell the story of what happened there. So we're walking up the hill. We get to the door of that building, and my little brother, who was already taller than me at that point, stops at the door. He turns around, and he starts walking back down the hill, and he says, "Okay, we saw it. What's next?" And, you know, I was tired, and we had walked a long way. We had had a pretty packed schedule, and kind of in frustration, I said, "Can we go in? You know, we walked all this way. Can we go in and, like, see what happened here?" And we did. We went in for about 10 minutes. He was kind of patient with me, and we got a little bit of the idea of what happened there before we moved on and walked fast to our next spot. This morning, we are, in some ways, setting up a memorial. This is a milestone. Pastor John serving as senior pastor here for 20 years. And we're going to read a verse in just a little bit that it really gives us precedent for what we're doing. Pastor John did not know about this morning. In fact, I just walked by and handed him the real programs. We give him fake programs. worried that if he saw, he might just leave or not come this morning. So certainly he knew nothing about this, hopefully. And it wasn't his idea. You know what? It wasn't even our idea. It was God's idea for us to recognize and highly esteem our pastor. And what we want to do this morning, as we set up this memorial in some ways, is we want to make sure we walk through the door and we remember what God has done here among us. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 through 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13. "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. And we ask you to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." It's short, so let me read it again. "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you, are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. We ask you to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." As we look at this passage, we're asking the question, you know, what has happened here among us? But even before we go there, let's ask the question, how did this verse end up in the Bible? What happened here? What's the backstory? If we could walk into a museum and look at some pictures and read the backstory, what would we learn? If you've got a pencil or a pen, I want you to circle up a couple of words right at the beginning. Circle the word "we" and circle the word "you." Do you see that? "We ask you." So who's "we" and who's "you"? And how did they meet? See, this letter is 1 Thessalonians, so it's written to Thessalonians. That's why it's called that. And Thessalonica was a city, a lot like New York City. It was a port city. It was a Greek city. And the you here, the brothers, are Christians who lived in that Greek city. The we is Paul. If you heard anything about Paul in the Bible, he always had companions with him. And so he wrote we. Paul is writing a letter to the Greek Christians in Thessalonica. Now, how did Paul, who grew up close to Israel, meet these Christians who lived in Greece? Well, see, Jesus changed Paul's life. And he used him to go all over the world to tell people about Jesus. He took several trips. The second trip he took, Paul had a plan. His plan was to go to Asia. He wanted to go to Asia to tell them about Jesus. But we read in Acts chapter 16 that God stopped him. The Holy Spirit prevented him from going there. We don't know what that looked like. We don't know why. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what happened was soon after that, Paul had a vision and he saw a man from Greece, Macedonia was what it was called back then, saying, come over here and help us. It was a vision. Come over here and help us. And Paul knew that that was God telling him to go to Greece to tell them about Jesus. It wasn't on Paul's plan. It wasn't part of his agenda. It wasn't on his itinerary. But God had his own itinerary and his own plan. And God sent Paul to Greece to tell them about Jesus. God sent to Greece to tell them about Jesus. He went to a couple of cities and he ended up in Thessalonica, that port city, and he shared about Jesus. Not everybody believed. Not everybody did, but a few did. A few did. And this is what Paul says happened in their lives. It's earlier in the book of 1 Thessalonians. He says, and I'll just read it to you, it's in chapter 1. He says, you turned to God. He's describing what happened to them when they believed in Jesus. You turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. They believed in Jesus. They turned away from other things they were trusting and loving and making the center of their life. And they turned to Jesus, trusted him and his death for their sin. And they got together and met together to encourage one another and to grow together. Now, Paul, a lot of people didn't. A lot of people didn't believe. In fact, a lot of people were pretty hostile, and he got run out of town, maybe after only about 3 weeks there. So Paul writes this letter to help encourage them. And what happened, when we step back and we think about this story, God sent some we's, to Greece to share so that many you's would come to Christ and gather together and a church would be formed. Paul didn't think that up. The people in Greece didn't see it coming. It's what God had done. And when Paul left, they kept getting together. They kept gathering to grow. Who was your we? Who was your we that told you about Jesus? Pastor John, the story is that a college friend down the hall in his dorm told him about Jesus and his need to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. And after a few years, that took root and the Lord changed Pastor John's life. For me, it was 3 generations ago. In a small town in the Redwoods of Northern California, people went from a church to my grandfather's door, knocked on the door. They didn't know him, but they shared about Jesus. My grandfather believed, and my grandmother believed, and my father, who was 9, believed. And he grew up, and he taught me about Jesus, and I believed. Who was your we? Was it a parent? Probably, for most of us in this room, it wasn't. It was a friend at work. It was somebody you grew up with in high school and got reacquainted with 10 years later, whose life had been changed, and they shared with you, and they became your we. Maybe it was 3 weeks ago. Maybe it was 30 years ago. But somebody told you, if you are a follower of Christ, if you are a Christian, somebody told you and you believed. And you turned from idols. You turned from other things that you were trusting and loving to Jesus. And your life was changed. And then God brought us together. Just like he did in Thessalonica, he brought us together. And maybe, again, it was 3 weeks ago that you came to Christ. Maybe it was last week. And you're here and you're beginning to be a part of this body as we walk together, as we pray for one another, as we encourage one another. Maybe it was 30 years ago, and this isn't the first church you've been in. Maybe you've been in a few others. But for this time and this season, God has brought you here. And what God has done is He has brought us together so that we are not one voice singing to Jesus. But as we gather, we lift our voices together to sing to Jesus. And we are not a you singular, we are a you plural. And there's an S at the end of brother, and there's an S at the end of sister. And we are brothers and we are sisters, and God has done this. As we remember 20 years of Pastor John serving as senior pastor, we step back and we remember the history of what God has done in this place. And listen, we're not the only church in town. God is working all over our community. He is working all over the world to send we's to form you's that come together to worship Him. It is what God has done. As we looked earlier, small Bible study down the street got too big, moved across the street. And over years, as God continued to save us and bring us together, we needed a bigger space and we've moved down the street. God has done this. I want you to take your pencil or your pen if you've got it still. I want you to circle the word those. So God sends we's to bring you's together. And then what He does is He raises up those. He raises up those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. It doesn't use the word in this verse, but what He's talking about is pastors. That's what He's talking about. Pastors. See, what He did in Thessalonica, what God did, and you see this all over the New Testament, you see it all over actually in our world today, when He saves individuals, He brings them together as a group, and then among that group, He raises up and He gives to those local churches spiritual leaders. That's what He does. See, these guys in Thessalonica almost definitely were not hired from Israel to come in. God rose them up from among their group. He did a special work in their hearts, equipped them to lead and teach and feed. And that's what God's done here. I don't know if you remember some of those bullets that were shown earlier. Pastor John and Danielle were members of this church for almost 2 years before Pastor John became the senior pastor of this church. They were among us. Some of us, I think, maybe in this room were here at that point. Probably a handful, maybe a few. Joined the church and 1993, wasn't a spiritual leader, wasn't a pastor, wasn't even probably right at the beginning leading a Bible study, but God rose Pastor John up to be senior pastor of this church, to do the things that are talked about in this verse. So what does a pastor do? What is the work of a pastor? And there's three things in this verse. You can underline them, kind of underline them on the screen for you there. This is not comprehensive, but this verse talks about three things that a pastor does. Labor among you, are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Now, over you in the Lord, we'll start with that one. What does that mean? The idea there, the word is rule or lead or oversee. Now, this isn't a kind of leading like a rancher leads. The word pastor in the Bible literally means shepherd. See, a rancher lives in a ranch house. It's warm, it's comfortable. Cows are outside and they're maybe in a pen. Maybe the weather's hitting them. See, the rancher's kind of separate, kind of different, kind of away from the cattle. The rancher comes out of his house sometimes and he sits on a horse and he's above the cows and he looks down on the cows and he uses a whip with the cows or dogs with the cows to spook them and chase them to where he wants them to go. That's not the picture of an overseer in the Bible. Picture of the overseer in the Bible is a shepherd. Shepherd doesn't live in a ranch house. Shepherd lives with the sheep. In fact, the shepherds in Bible times were kind of a lower class because they smelled. Because they didn't shower very often because they were in the field and they slept in the field with the sheep. It was a 24/7 job. You didn't just protect the sheep in the daytime and then go home at night because they might get attacked at night. So You were always on. You were with them. You were among them. And the shepherd didn't get on a horse, didn't look down on the sheep. He was among the sheep and he led the sheep. And the sheep were to follow him. He would lead them to green pastures. He would protect them from things that would come that would harm them. That's why the Bible uses the term shepherd, pastor. Because that's the role. One who helps, one who gives aid, one who leads, one who is among. And you see that word labors among you. Not above, but with, one of, among you, leading and protecting and nurturing and helping. And that's what Pastor John has done for 20 years. And you've done it well. Amen. Jesus warned us about hirelings. Because there were shepherds where it was just a job. They were just doing it for the money. Didn't care about the sheep. Jesus said, be careful of those who are just doing this for money. Because a real shepherd loves the sheep. And he cares for the sheep, not because of any kind of money that's connected with it, but because he loves the chief shepherd, Jesus, and because he loves the sheep. And Pastor John has been a shepherd and is a shepherd who loves the chief shepherd and looks to lead us where the chief shepherd would have us go, helps us to keep our eyes on Jesus, and Pastor John loves us. And what we need to see this morning is, as we honor Pastor John, we need to even kind of look through Pastor John and see that the care and the love and the help and the protection and the ministry that Pastor John has given these last 20 years has been given from God through Pastor John. Amen. And we look through Pastor John and we see the grace of God and the love of God and the gentleness of God and the wisdom of God through the ministry of Pastor John. We honor Pastor John. We praise God. Second thing in here. Those who labor, you can keep those outlines up there. Respect those who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Admonish you. What does that word admonish mean? Not a word we use a lot. The idea is to gently caution, to instruct, to give advice that's really timely, that's really specific to your situation. Now, it means in a group context, definitely, like what we're doing now, and Pastor John does this well. But it even means more than that on kind of an individual basis, a one-on-one kind of counsel. Now, if we had time this morning, a majority of us could probably stand and share stories of how Pastor John has admonished, counseled us, advised us very specifically with something we have been going through, that he has done that well. And we could all share stories. And if we had time, we wouldn't have time because I would take all the time to tell you how that has played out in my life, just even personally. There is a discernment and a wisdom that God has given Pastor John that is unique and powerful. But again, we look through Pastor John and we look to the one who is incredibly wise and has all the wisdom in the world. And he puts each part of the body together just as he wants to. And anything we have comes from him. So we are thankful again and honor Pastor John. And we're so thankful for the wisdom and discernment and how he has admonished us well. And we praise God for doing that the last 20 years in this body through Pastor John. So I skipped labor among you. See, here's... thing. If a pastor's going to lead well and admonish well, he's going to labor. To do that well takes work. The word labor here means to toil. To toil to the point of weariness. You know, that kind of weariness where you put your head on the pillow and you're tired. And you've worked, you've toiled, you've labored. Maybe not the kind of labor that always brings sweat, but it brings a weariness, a good weariness in ways. Yeah, I could tell stories, and you probably could too, of driving past the church building and seeing Pastor John's car parked out there. Maybe, I don't know why you're driving past the church building at 11 o'clock at night, but maybe you were, and you might have seen his car, the corner light on in his office. Maybe you saw Pastor John at 6 in the morning in the hospital right before you went in for surgery, where he came and he prayed with you before you went into surgery. Maybe it was 2 o'clock in the morning when a crisis struck in your life and Pastor John sat with you for a few hours in the middle of the night. Maybe it was a 1 hour appointment that turned into a 3.5 hour time with Pastor John where you cried, which is fairly common. Not because Pastor John's mean, but because he gives timely counsel that somehow many times just makes you cry. Pastor John, you know, Paul in the Bible in 1 Corinthians, he said, you know, and it kind of shocks us a little bit. It does me. Paul said, you know, I'm thankful that I labored more than any of the disciples. Any of the other 12 guys, 11 guys, I've labored more. And you're like, wow, that's kind of, it's kind of arrogant. But he says, but not me, but the grace of God in me. He said, no, I've labored hard, but I need you to know it's been God doing it through me. Now, John wouldn't say this. I know he wouldn't, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to hijack Paul's verse, and I'm going to say that Pastor John has labored more than any of us. But not him, but the grace of God to us through him. Amen. And so we honor Pastor John, but we praise God. The Bible says in this verse, two, you can take your pen out again if you want to use that. It tells us to do two things, respect and highly or esteem very highly in love. To respect and esteem very highly in love. That's what the yous are told to do to those. That's what we are told to do in relation to our pastor, Pastor John. The word respect means recognize, acknowledge. You know, you teach your children to look people in the eye, to recognize them. It shows respect. You walk into a room and there's somebody there, it's just you and them, and, you know, respect, showing respect means you recognize them, you look at them, you say hi. If you walk in a room and you don't look at them and you don't say anything to them, you don't even acknowledge that they're there, that's not respectful. As we walk through this month and know that it's been 20 years since Pastor John has served as senior pastor here, what we are doing is we are recognizing Pastor John. We're saying it would be disrespectful for us not to. This verse tells us to respect, to recognize that he has served and he has served well us for 20 years. In fact, again, God tells us to do this. Verse 13, esteem very highly in love. Esteem very highly in love. Think very highly in love of them. You know what that verse means? It means to beyond measure think highly of him. Are we overdoing it this morning? I don't know. How do you beyond measure? How do you measure beyond measure highly esteem? In love. You know, I was thinking about this. If this is like your first time here, or you've been coming maybe for a few weeks, and you know, we don't typically do this. You know, I would encourage you, if this is your first time here this morning, if you don't come back for 10 more years, we may be doing this again. So So just so you kind of get a feel for what we normally do, come back before 10 years. We'd love to have you. But what we want you to know, maybe if you're fairly new to this group of yous as we gather to worship Jesus, we want you to know that we as a church are following Jesus, that we believe in Jesus, that we believe that He died for our sin, and He is the only one that we can be forgiven by, the only way that we can be forgiven, the only way we can be right with God. That we follow Jesus, and what Jesus said was that the way you'll know, you say, well, okay, you say that, Kevin, that's great, but you know, I'm going to check you out for a while, and we hope you do, because what Jesus said is the way you're going to know that we're followers of Jesus is if we love one another. We can say we love each other all we want, but if we don't do it, then it doesn't mean anything. But what we want you to know and what we want to express this morning is that we love Pastor John. We love Pastor John. And we're not just doing this because it's a commandment and we want to obey. It says to highly esteem very highly in love. And we're doing this because we love Pastor John. We are thankful for what God has done here, what God has done in our hearts, what God has done in our body in bringing us together, and what God has done for us in raising up Pastor John to shepherd well. We may not be aware of this, but it is a pretty unusual thing for a pastor to pastor the same church for 20 years and to do it well. That is unusual. I don't know what the statistics are, but what we need to do again is honor Pastor John and thank him and his family for faithfulness and praise God for what he has done here in our lives and in our church body's life and in giving and helping John and his family persevere in faithfulness. Let's pray. Jesus, as we seek to obey you and express our love for Pastor John and his family, we thank you and we praise you that the amazing story that you did in Thessalonica that nobody really saw coming, Lord, you have in so many ways done that here in this place in the past 20 plus years. And God, it's not a monument. This church, this place is not a monument to a man. It's not a monument to a people. It's a monument to Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who has given to the church pastors, teachers, to build up the church so that we could become more like Christ and bring honor to you. And God, we are thankful. We are thankful for you. We are thankful for Pastor John. We are thankful for his wife, Danielle, for their girls, for what you did in their lives, what you have done in our lives, and how you've given us the privilege to walk together. And Jesus, we understand that some in this room may be still trying to figure this out, still maybe a little fuzzy about Jesus and forgiveness and the Bible and what this means. Lord, as we gather around the cross, Lord, there is plenty of room at the cross. And God, we pray that you would add daily to the youths who gather here, those who trust in Jesus. We need your help. And I pray, God, for those who are still trying to figure out Jesus, that you would give them grace and help. You would help us to be an encouragement and a help to point to him. God, this day is a memorial for you. We praise you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.